It's now time for The Sit Down with Don Tony.
The Sit Down, where Don Tony talks one-on-one with his followers.
What are you looking at?
About the world of pro wrestling, pop culture, and so much more.
The Sit Down with Don Tony.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
Hey, how you doing? How you doing, everyone? Gifah, what's going on? How's your weekend going? It is July 2nd, 2023. The sit-down with yours truly has officially started. A week ago, we had AEW Forbidden Door, and we did a sit-down episode in place of it. And man, it was hopping last week with some great shit. And I tell you, tonight, I'm looking at questions that already came in, and this is going to be a good one. I see it already. So I want to welcome everyone without long-winded intros and, rants. Let's get right into it. I will say this before we start. I watched Money in the Bank in its entirety. Yes, there were a couple of surprises. A lot of the outcomes kind of felt that they were going in that direction. I see a couple of super chats that came in actually after doing Money in the Bank. So I'll give you some of my thoughts when those questions come up. Excellent. Excellent premium live event. Nothing disappointed. If I had to complain about something, maybe Riddle and Gunther should have went a little bit longer, but Jesus, chopping the fucking ankle, the shin area, that's gangster, man. That's gangster. That was worthy of putting a pancake hat on tonight. That is mafioso. That is awesome. I really like the event. Roman Reigns getting pinned was a little bit of a surprise for me. He almost felt like Solo Sikoa is the easy way. Just like when you have Imperium do matches, usually Vinci is the one that gets pinned. There's always someone that you kind of feel. I mean, even when you had Riddle teaming up with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, Riddle always seemed to be the one being pinned as well. But Roman Reigns... I will say this, since this did not come in on a super chat as of yet, so maybe I'll save someone a couple of dollars. I'm going to start pushing a phrase, and I will tweak it by Monday night, but by Monday night, I think I'll have it down pat, perfect. Right away, people are insisting that Jey Uso should be... challenging Roman Reigns at SummerSlam and beating Roman Reigns at SummerSlam. That this would be a three-year storyline with Jey Uso. And let me make this clear. I have said it numerous times on shows that Jey Uso, if awards could be issued in like the Hollywood atmosphere, Jey Uso probably deserves it more than anyone else. His performance the last couple of years has been spectacular, especially over the last year or so. It is on a level that I don't think could be compared to anybody else in wrestling. Does that make him a world champion? No. No. People that insist that he... let me put it this way. Cody will finish the story. Stop trying to change the story. People, oh, Sami Zayn should have beaten Roman in Elimination Chamber. Now it's Jey Uso should have beaten Roman. Yes, I have said it 1,000 times at Clash at the Castle. I honestly thought that Drew McIntyre was going to beat Roman. Didn't happen. But let's get into the show. Let me give you the instructions for anybody that's new. And then let's start off with the VIPers, the super chats, because they obviously deserve to go at the front of the line. Sit down on Sundays is simple. I show up with nothing. I show up with no notes, nothing pre-planned. Whatever you want to talk about is what I will talk about. You have to be in the chat, obviously, if you want to dictate where the conversation goes. All I ask is that if you're going to ask a question, write the word question before it so I could spot it quicker. If you have a comment that you want me to share with everyone, write the word comment before it. If somebody posts a super chat, obviously, those are very appreciated. They go to the expenses here. That will go to the front of the line, and they will be answered first. It's only fair. So let's kick it right off. A super shout out. And who sent this one in? Ronnie C. Ronnie, thank you for the 10 spot. Ronnie, despite an incredible Money in the Bank, a lot of losers are whining about LA Knight losing and Cody saying the beaten Seth will not be finishing the story. My thoughts. Okay. I don't think they're losers, and I'm not trying to be politically correct or nicey-nicey kissing ass right now. They're just fed a lot of misinformation. I have talked about this for decades, that unfortunately there's a lot of journalists out there that have their feelings, they're passionate about things, their viewpoints on things, and also their inkling that they're going to go WWE in a certain direction. So they report it as news. Instead of just saying that they want LA Knight to win the briefcase, they report LA Knight will win the briefcase. And if you really pay attention over the last, 7 months, you had journalists out there telling you LA Knight is winning Money in the Bank. LA Knight is winning Money in the Bank. That was not their opinion. That was a news story. And they got it wrong. And people let it stick into their head. And for 7 months, they build themselves up that LA Knight's winning it. No, LA Knight, LA Knight, LA Knight. LA Knight is fine, everyone. I said about 5-6 weeks ago that better nights ahead, and I spelled Knights, K-N-I-G-H-T-S. LA Knight is fine. He don't need no briefcase. If you remember our predictions that Kevin and I did last Tuesday, we had a feeling that LA Knight was going to win the briefcase. But Kevin and I were rooting for Damian Priest to win it. The only thing that I thought was, if you look at gimmicky, LA Knight walking around with the briefcase just probably appears more entertaining than anything else. But no, you got to stop buying into the bullshit. You got to stop buying into the bullshit. You know, if you want to root for LA Knight, absolutely look. Last night, I was rooting for LA Knight and Damian Priest. I would have been happy with either choice. I'm not going to sit here and say that the wrong person won, because make no mistake about it, Damian Priest has been working his ass off and has probably had one of the best 2023s of anybody on the roster. And fans took notice, WWE management took notice, and this is their easier way to get a title shot for Damian Priest. Remember this. The reason why, and I want to make this clear, the reason why people make such a big deal about the briefcase, even though they think the briefcase has not been used all that well in recent years, look at Austin Theory recently, a lot of people shit on the briefcase, but yet the briefcase is such a big deal. Why? Because on the women's side, every person who's ever cashed in won a title. On the men's side, it's like 79%. Of everybody who's ever cashed in, won the title. So whoever has that briefcase has a guaranteed shot at a title and has a very high possibility rate of winning it. The thing is, you look at LA Knight's build so far, other than being a fan favorite, has he had any long winning streak on TV? Has he had any winning momentum that would back up? I mean, you know, a lot of people compare LA Knight to The Rock, and we had a discussion yesterday where I clearly compare LA Knight to Steve Austin. My God, even when you look at him climb the ropes and he puts his hands up in the air, you listen to it, more and more, that you'll see. It's stone cold. And listen, in being inspired by Steve Austin, there's nothing wrong with that. He's not imitating anyone. He's inspired by people. But let's think back to 1998, when Steve Austin finally, around that time, started, you know, fighting for championships. Yes, he took on Bret Hart before that in 97, but when he got to the mountaintop, this guy was on a major winning streak. He didn't win every single match, but when he went out there, it was almost a guaranteed win every time. LA Knight's not there yet. You don't want LA Knight to have a fluke win. You know, LA Knight is fine. And as weird as it sounds, and we said this a week ago, you know, WWE management, they think they've done everything right with LA Knight. Look at how over he is. If WWE would have handled him a little bit different, would the crowd be over as much as they are? Don't know. Have no idea. Now, as far as Cody saying beating Seth would not be finishing the story. Okay. Here's my phrase. Cody will finish the story. Stop trying to change the story. Because since WrestleMania, you've had so many people trying to change the story that it's, should have been Sami Zayn into Mania, or at least a three-way. It should be Jey Uso. It should be Jimmy Uso. It should be Frankie Uso. You know, like, there's always a different, this other person should get a shot. This LA Knight should be the Roman Reigns. So people were saying Solo Sikoa is going to be the one to dethrone Roman Reigns. Cody's finishing the story. Stop trying to change the story. When Cody was in the press conference yesterday, if anybody, and I see a few people a little confused about Ronnie's comment, the Money in the Bank press conference after the event was over, Cody Rhodes was asking about the World Heavyweight Championship. And Cody said point blank, that would be a prestigious honor to become World Heavyweight Champion. But I would not be finishing the story if I become World Heavyweight Champion. Again, as we say on these shows, we're not trying to talk down on you. You know, myself, even when I do some shows with Kev, not trying to talk down on anyone. We're not trying to act smarter than anyone else. We're looking at it in clear lenses, not rose-colored glasses. Cody Rhodes is doing a boatload of dusty, and WWE is going right along with it. A lot of you, yes, were not around when all the shit with Dusty was going down. You might have seen it later on, years later, on the WWE Network. Hell, I was extremely young when Dusty was doing what he was doing with Harley Race and Ric Flair and everything else. You know, but I was old enough to get a feel of it in the wrestling magazines. I'm in New York. In the early to mid 80s, we did not have a plethora of NWA wrestling. You would have a little bit of, you know, Turner Networks, but mostly it was more the magazines. But Cody's finishing the story. If Cody doesn't finish the story, people will look at it 5 years, 10 years, 20 years as the biggest debacle, disappointment, in WWE recent history. It will be considered a massive, it'll be considered to the Lex Express. It will be put on that level. Cody Rhodes will finish the story. If you stop trying to change the story, then things will be made a little bit clearer. Things are designed for certain reasons. Cody Rhodes will finish the story. He's not putting down. I saw that on social media today. You know, snowflakes with 10, 50, 250,000 followers. Stop feeding to your audience that Cody is, you know, what's that emoji? Like Cody's disrespecting the World Heavyweight Championship. It ain't worth shit. No, he's not. The story is beating Roman Reigns, taking Roman Reigns what he's got. That's the story. No matter how many twists and turns and curves and scenic routes WWE wants to do along the way, Cody Rhodes is finishing the story, whether you like it or not. Stop trying to change the story. You're not going to change the story. You could vote, and a lot of these same people are the same ones that Zelina Vega should have beaten Rhea Ripley in Puerto Rico, that Mustafa Ali should have beaten Gunther, even if it's for one night in Saudi Arabia. These are the same goofs that have to have that emotion, that high, that, oh my God, everything is great in the world. Everything, even though I look out my window and I see smoke and fire and vandalism and racial overtones and all this anti-this and anti-that, Sami Zayn won the title. Zelina Vega won in Puerto Rico. And I fucking love these guys and gals. But it was not the right time. It's not that instant high. Take a blunt, take a joint. Oh, I feel great. And then the next day you feel like shit. You listen to those morons online that push it. I'm not calling everybody morons, but the ones that push it and push it and push it and push it. Think about the day after. These are the dopes that would get drunk off their ass in a club and just bang anything that has human genitalia and wake up the next day without their clothes, without their money, knocked up, you know, taken advantage, car stolen, date rape drug, male, female, both, whatever you want to. And then they're like, well, but I had an amazing time the night before. I had an amazing time. You can't take that away from me. Don't listen to those people. Enjoy what you want to enjoy. Root for who you want to root for. But at the end of the day, Cody's finishing the story. Stop trying to change the story. You're not going to change the story. You're not going to change what the direction was with Damian Priest. When people were saying that WWE is extremely high on Damian Priest right now, after the Bad Bunny performance, after his work in Judgment Day, after his match with Seth Rollins, that they are positioning him to be the breakout star. There is the momentum. LA Knight is over with the fans, but in the ring, there's no momentum yet. It just started. So I'm not concerned about LA Knight. WWE's not going to, trust me, as much as Vince may be in the back going, ha, 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 how do they like that? You know, when LA Knight lost, I don't think that happens anymore. So relax. Everything will be fine. I'm pretty confident of that. Thank you, Ronnie. Sal Amendola, happy 4th of July, Don. What's my go-to barbecue to eat on the 4th? Well, since I'm on keto, anything without bread. Hamburgers, hot dogs, steak. I never liked ribs, but now I'm getting into ribs, really enjoying some nice baby back ribs. I want my baby back, baby back, baby back, baby. What commercial was that? Anybody that lives in my neck of the woods, what was that commercial from back in the day? I want my baby back, baby back, baby back ribs. I don't ask me how I even thought of that commercial. Chili's, thank you, Wimbology, Twix, Chili's. Yeah, I'm old, but yeah, those are my go-tos. I'm not a beer drinker. Like, I'll have a nice glass of wine, you know, nice ice-cold, like, seltzer or something, or even a little cafe, like I'm having right now. But that's usually my go-to. And I hope everybody enjoys your 4th of July, those who celebrate it. Thank you, Sal. And by the way, let me give everybody a little bit of a programming note. We still don't know. We will know Monday afternoon if Kev Castle and I will be doing a recap and a review of Money in the Bank. Yes, we have a lot to say. It's just a matter of if we could get together. I will tell you this. If we do a recap and review, it'll probably go down Monday afternoon, and it'll be in the bag, and it'll be put online for everyone probably early July 4th. So you have the whole day to enjoy it. If Kev cannot appear because he's working, then I will do it as part of Monday night's post-Raw show. So here's your little quick plug. I put Brock Lesnar in there because I have a feeling Brock may show up tomorrow, but on the website right now, I have Gunther in his place. I haven't decided yet. By the way, how do you like all of that stuff? Drew McIntyre, heel turn, heel turn, heel turn, heel turn. Oh, falling out with WWE. Triple H had a field day in the press scrum yesterday that the net gets 75% of it wrong, and there's nothing wrong going on with Drew McIntyre. Do I think Triple H was being 100% honest? No. There's no doubt Drew McIntyre creatively was not happy with some of his direction. But Drew McIntyre, at the end of the day, there is a merger and acquisition going on, and that is the number one reason why Drew McIntyre and WWE did not complete a new contract as of yet, because that is going on. It's new owners. You know, everything legally changes. It's not simply, well, they can write the check now, and then when they pay him in January, it'll have TKO on it instead. It's not as easy. It's not as easy as you think. But he's back. He'll be taking on Gunther. I don't know if he beats him. People think that he's beaten Gunther at SummerSlam. I think Gunther is going to end up being the longest intercontinental champion of all time. And that happens in about, what, 2 months? That happens in about 2 months. So I'm very happy Drew McIntyre is back. So let's see what happens Monday afternoon. I will definitely post all over the place and Monday evening, you know, what the deal is with the recap. If Kev's around, we will do it. And my gut feeling says that we will. But again, you know, it's a holiday weekend and he is in the heavy metal, you know, business. And there's a lot of, you know, holiday concerts and things going on, you know. So, you know, we'll see what happens. I'll let everybody know. All right. Continuing on with some super shout outs. Let's see this one. Sticky Fingers Frank. Sticky Fingers Frank with the 5 spot. Thank you, Sticky. Sticky Fingers Frank. Yo, DT, what's my thoughts on people saying Tony Khan having AEW Wembley is the reason WWE is trying to bring WrestleMania to the UK? All right. I know who's already pushing that narrative. Some of my friends. I'll say this in a very respectful way. Yes, it's been a topic over the last couple of years. But I will tell you this, straight up, no clickbait, no drama, no jerking anybody off or giving handjobs. WWE has been talking WrestleMania with the UK going back before Clash at the Castle went down. It is not simply, oh, are you available? Is your arena available on April 3rd, 2024? 25, 26? No, it's not as easy as that. Especially when you realize that there is a weekend of events. It's not a, just a one-shot deal. Fly in, fly out, rent rooms, and we're good. You know, and book flights. It's not as easy. They have been negotiating, trying to get WrestleMania to London way before Clash at the Castle even took place. People want to credit Tony Khan. I don't blame. I'll say this to be nice. I don't blame some people giving credit to Tony Khan because, look, 60,000 seats sold. You know, it's definite guaranteed. But let's be honest. I mean, WrestleMania, wherever it happens, they're selling out. So they didn't need WrestleMania to sell out in the UK. But I will say this. As much as people want to make Tony Khan feel like the giant right now, WWE has been talking to people in the UK about bringing WrestleMania there since last year. That's just a fact. People don't like it and insist on ignoring the truth so they could try to give Tony Khan a hand job. That's fine. For people that are not aware of it, that's fine as well. But the truth is that WWE has been talking to the UK about WrestleMania for quite some time. The number one reason, someone is asking me right now, why hasn't WWE brought WrestleMania to the UK sooner? The time difference. Believe it or not, I think Saudi Arabia might be part of the reason why it's a much better chance of getting WrestleMania in the UK now than before. And I know some people on the surface say, like, DT, what the fuck are you talking about? WWE, over decades, does not normally do pay-per-view outside of the country because of the time difference. Because, you know, you're asking people to watch a live event, you know, at crazy hours of the day, the morning, the afternoon. The difference now, though, is pay-per-views are not $59.99 anymore for WWE. They're not $64.99. They're not $49.99. It's $5 a month, $10 a month. So whether that event shows up and watches live in your state at 3 o'clock in the afternoon or 9 o'clock in the morning, or, you know, in the evening, you're still paying $5, $10 a month. That's the big difference. They don't have to worry about a pay-per-view buy rate where they got to split part of the proceeds with the pay-per-view companies and this and this and this. It's a little bit different now. And I know what someone's going to say to me right now. Didn't WWE do an event a few years ago in, what was it, Japan? Was it Brock Lesnar versus Finn Balor in Japan? Or was it Brock versus The Miz? There was an event, I think it took place in Japan. I mean, I didn't think about this before we went live. I didn't expect Frank to be posting this. Okay, thank you, Michael. It was Brock Lesnar versus Kofi Kingston. And I remember that event. And I remember the time difference. And I remember everybody making a big deal, including me, about the time difference. The Beast in the East. Thank you. 2015, The Beast in the East. That event was one of the first in recent memory that had that much of a time difference. And at the end of the day, it wasn't bad. It wasn't bad. I'm not giving that event credit for what we're getting now, but Saudi Arabia, the viewership in countries outside of Saudi Arabia watching it on a time difference was so successful that they realized, yeah, we can do an event that airs at 9 o'clock in the morning in New York or 3 o'clock in the afternoon or 12 a.m. I mean, you're not going to want to do it in the wee hours of the morning, but yeah, that could happen too. So that's the reason more than anything else. A lot of what John Cena said yesterday was emotional. It was to get the fans going. Major unrest. Yeah, we joked about it a couple of weeks ago. I think a lot of people have no idea what's going on near Wembley right now, the uproars in the streets. But, you know, there's places in the United States that are like that as well. It doesn't make it any better, but, you know, that's more joking. It's not funny, but, you know, just talking about it. But John Cena yesterday, talking about, oh, they think that there's too much unrest here, that they think that. That's not really the full-blown reason. It's more of just logistics and time and everything else. But now with the streaming media, and it's the same price per month, and you're paying the same price, whether it is at 8 o'clock at night or 8 o'clock in the morning, they still make their money. That's why they're getting closer to a deal with WrestleMania in UK. Now, it's going to be either WrestleMania 41 or 42, obviously. It's not going to be 40 because 40's in Philly. But to be honest, sorry for those that might get annoyed when I say this. Tony Khan is not the reason. But you look at Tony Khan and AEW's success with ticket sales, that kind of like puts the exclamation point at the end of the sentence. I will give AEW that credit. Absolutely. You know, if, let me put it this way. Let's look at the opposite. What if WWE was negotiating with the UK since last year and then All In goes on sale and they only sell 15,000 tickets? Even though some people might be like, oh, that's AEW, and look at their card and their ticket price overhyped and everything, I think that would be startling for WWE. Like, wow, they couldn't even sell 15, 20,000 tickets in a 90,000-seat arena. But the fact that they are selling well, I think that just gives added to WWE that, hey, there's no reason why we can't sell this place out. So that's my honest opinion on that. Thank you, Frank. Moist ham. Fucking love it. Why do I feel like this Japanese influence today? My name, Moist Ham. Moist Ham. Like, I could bet you go to Japan. Hey, how you doing? Don Tony here. No, I would say Anthony. Hey, how you doing, Anthony? How you doing? My name, Moist Ham. Just sounds Japanese. I'm not trying to piss anybody off. Who's to blame? Looking at the numbers, see if anybody disconnects. Three more people connected. Who's to blame for Theory's stagnant ascent? WWE. They're taking their time. Maybe too much time. Now Grayson Waller. Listen, I think LA Knight is going to feud with Austin Theory. Coming out of Money in the Bank yesterday, I feel it's going to be LA Knight and Austin Theory. I think LA Knight will end up beating Austin Theory for the United States Championship. I'm serious. I think that is going to happen. Austin Theory, the guy is so fucking young. You could take a year, 2 years, 3 years, as long as you don't turn him into damaged goods. You know, if he just treads for a little while, that's fine. That's fine. I'm not worried about Austin Theory. I will say this. The reason why they kept the title on him is to keep his worth feeling a little bit more. You know, at the end of the day, all day, every day, you know, Austin Theory ends up on top. But in between days, he's not doing much. He don't need Pretty Deadly. That Pretty Deadly aspect of it is simply because the Brawling Brutes are three and Austin Theory is one. That's the only reason why they're doing that. I think Austin Theory, compared to a year ago, Austin Theory is doing fine. He went into WrestleMania, beat John Cena, and a lot of people, whether you want to admit it or not, when he dropped that briefcase, his ascent went up to the point where him beating John Cena was very believable. Since then, they haven't done much. That's okay. That's why you don't want Bron Breakker brought up to the main roster right now, Carmelo Hayes brought up to the main roster right now, and others. Because who are they going to go up against? You might be able to come up with a feud for a month, and then what? There are others that are taking most of the spotlight right now. You know, you look at Butch, you look at others. I fucking love Butch. Pete Dunne is one of my favorites. Pete Dunne, how they're using him is pretty much the best they're going to be able to do. He ain't winning no heavyweight titles. He ain't winning on the United States or intercontinental titles anytime soon. Tag title is almost untouchable at this moment. So the best thing you could do is make him look strong. But after a while, that kind of fizzles out as well. So Theory, I say we take some time. And I think LA Knight versus Austin Theory, I think that's coming. I absolutely do. I feel it. Thank you, Mr. Ham. Rizzo. Rizzo is in the house. Rizzo, thank you for the 20 spot, my brother. Happy 4th if you celebrate it. Thank you, Rizzo. Hey, DT in the chat, I apologize if this is a dumb question, but with UFC, no question here is dumb. Whether it's 22, free, 2,000, no question here is dumb. Never is. If this, with UFC and WWE under the same umbrella, do we think they do their premium live events or pay-per-views in the same city or building? What a dumb fucking question. What a dumb question. What wrestling fans want to see UFC in the same building? I'm kidding. I'm joking. No, they wouldn't do that. WWE and pro wrestling and UFC are similar in a lot of ways, but are very, very different. Plus, you're really asking for a lot to double dip people. I mean, you know, let's be honest. I'm not throwing any shade to AEW right now. I'm not even throwing shade to WWE. But look at Money in the Bank weekend. You had Friday SmackDown and Money in the Bank in the same area. For people that went to both events, I saw people online that legitimately said that they spent well over $1,000 to see this. Hell, the reason why I'm not knocking is if you got the money and you want to spend it any way you want, go right ahead. You know, but you're asking a lot from a lot of people. And personally, and UFC, I think, demands even more money than WWE. Plus, you're talking about two totally different sports. And let's also be honest, too. You're not going to have WWE production and UFC production and not the same animal. I will say this. You know journalists are already going to clickbait you in a few months. There's going to be a lot of releases in the offices. Right now, you have, let's say, 15 people working in Connecticut for WWE's accounting division. Accounts receivable, accounts payable, accounting assistants. You got about 15 people. On the UFC side, you got about 17 people. When they merged to TKO Incorporated, you don't need 15 here and 17 here and put them all together and take them out for coffee and everybody wear a, hello, my name is Moist Ham. You're like, you're not going to walk around saying hello and like getting to know each other. No, they're going to be consolidated into one company. Ooh, we only need 12 for TKO Incorporated. Some people have to go. Now, Sinister Vince might say, let's put their names in a hat. Let's roll the ball and let's see what Joshua. Sorry, Joshua. Yeah, fired. Imagine somebody from UFC working for UFC right now. They get a phone call. Yeah, how you doing? Vince McMahon, executive chairman, TKO. Got a message for you. Yeah, fired. I think you're calling the wrong company here. I work for UFC. I don't work for you. So you're going to see a lot of releases. But when you have UFC events and WWE events, it's two totally different animals. Plus, let's use one example. The camera shots. Sometimes you watch a WWE match, and it'll be 75 camera changes during a match. You'll see on the front, on the sides, on the back, up and down, left and right, punch here, punch there, and there's all these camera shots. UFC, sometimes the cameraman is busy sleeping, taking a nap. There's just one or two cameras, maybe four shots. They don't do the flips. The way WWE produces their content is a lot different than UFC. So, no, it'll be different. Definitely be different, Rizzo. And touring in the same area, you're asking for a lot of coin from fans. I don't see that happening. You know, if you were going to incorporate the two together, and wrestling shows are going to have half wrestling and half, you know, MMA, that's different, but I don't think we'll ever see that. We might see an MMA type of match in WWE. Now we may get it with Ronda and Shayna. Yeah, we'll talk about that tomorrow. Did not see that coming this week. Remember, we thought Ronda and Shayna were going to fight each other at WrestleMania. You remember that? I wonder if Ronda's arm injury, because she did have an arm injury around WrestleMania, I wonder if that derailed that feud, because they were going to feud. We talked about it a few times. Thank you, Rizzo, for that. Thank you, my friend. Havili, celebrating 6 months as a made man from down under. Aussie, Aussie, Aussie. What is up, Havili? Shout out from Australia, ADT, in my opinion, between Finn Balor and Damian Priest. Who do I see more likely to leave the Judgment Day? Damian Priest. Dominic Mysterio is too much of a chicken shit heel. He ain't turning babyface. Finn Balor is on fire right now. You don't change Finn Balor. Rhea Ripley, the connection, the teasing. They got people believing. What's that phrase they use on social media all the time? It's two words. They fucking. How many times have you seen like two people get taken a pit? Somebody takes a picture of two people together, and you'll just see people write, they fucking. I mean, people are actually believing that Buddy Murphy is not happy right now. I mean, he's not angry. It's storyline. Dominic Mysterio is, I think, either married, he's at least engaged to somebody. They're not intimate, but they're doing such a good job with this. They got people fooled. You don't mess with that. Damian Priest, what did I say on last week's predictions? It's like Razor Ramon, Bret Hart, and someone else had a baby. I can't remember who the third person was. Damian Priest has got it. And, you know, he's in his 40s now. So you can't waste too many years. I mean, yes, in this day and age, it is a lot different, you know, compared to 20 years ago. You know, I mean, people talk about the Hardys. God bless them that they're still doing what they're doing. Imagine you go back 20 years and you look at like the Rock and Roll Express, the Midnight Express, you look at others and you realize, you know, that when they were pretty much past their prime, when they really couldn't do much more anymore, and it was just like an afterthought, like a nostalgia event. you got wrestlers barely hitting 40. I'm not saying specifically those guys, but that's pretty much what it was back in the day. You hit your early 40s, you were pretty much, you know, more of like, you know, fan appreciation, novelty, the very rare exception to the rule. You know, you realize some wrestlers that really peaked, and you got people still in there. Look at Trish Stratus. I mean, Trish obviously is not going to be knocking down any titles anytime soon, but, you know, to come back after all these years and doing as much as she's doing now, I mean, it's like, where did this come from? And she's, what, 40? Is she 47? I think she's got to be around that. So, yeah. I just, I think Damian Priest, they're going to run with it for a little while. Damian Priest is not becoming heavyweight champion anytime soon, but they are positioning Damian Priest to be at the main event level. And honestly, Damian Priest is going to have to feud with heels, because Damian Priest has run through his share of baby faces, and, you know, you can't keep running back the same people. So I think at the end of the day, I said this last week, I think we may get Damian Priest versus Finn Balor at WrestleMania. I honestly think we could end up getting that. As far as JD McDonagh being put in the Judgment Day, I'm all for it when he gets over with the fans. Right now, JD McDonagh, I mean, even on the main event, if you look at the match that he wrestled on main event, there's no reaction. You got to give it some time. I like the early tease that Finn Balor wants to mentor JD McDonagh a little bit, but you don't suddenly put him out there when the fans just don't give a shit. You know, because you do that, it's not going to be Maven teaming up with Evolution, but, you know, he's got to click. He's got to click first. So, and they're going to take their time. All right. So Fly celebrating 28 months as a made man of the family. Thank you, So Fly. 28 months, man. What are the chances the Usos challenge Roman in triple threat for the championship at SummerSlam? Kevin and I talked about the possibility of a four-way. I'll be honest with you. After Money in the Bank yesterday, I kind of feel they could go Jey Uso, Roman Reigns, run it back. They could do that. I personally would love to see the four-way. And Friday SmackDown, we had some fun with it yesterday. We had some fun with it when the Usos were saying that they would accept Solo Sikoa as a tribal chief. And Roman Reigns, I got to take my glasses off so I don't break them. Roman Reigns is looking at Solo Sikoa and he's like. And Solo Sikoa like looks at him like, the fuck you look, what you laughing at? I think that might have been a little teaser that Solo Sikoa may be breaking out on his own as well. WrestleMania is still a long ways away, but we could end up with a four-way at SummerSlam. Based on WWE's recent track record, I think a three-way or Jey Uso versus Roman Reigns is a possibility. I think the way WWE's been milking things and taking too much time, we may not see the four of them battle it out for Roman Reigns' championship until maybe Survivor Series. Survivor Series. They're going to milk this. Imagine now Solo Sikoa having doubts about Roman Reigns being his tribal chief. And they milk 2-3 weeks out of that. That the Usos are trying to do to Solo Sikoa what Sami Zayn tried to do to the Usos. What Cody Rhodes indirectly tried to do to the entire bloodline, minus Roman Reigns. We may get that just with different people involved. So if WWE really wants to take the scenic route, we may not get it until the fall or the winter of 2023. It is a possibility, absolutely a possibility. They could go three different directions right now. Roman Reigns has to defend his championship at SummerSlam. Can't have three premium live events in a row doing that, and at the same time, you can't have, you know, a subpar title defense. Roman Reigns defended his title recently against Rey Mysterio at a house show. That's not enough. you got a lot of people going to SummerSlam paying some big-time cash. Roman has the Defenders Championship. And it's got to be against someone that you really got to have a little suspension of disbelief that they could possibly win. That's why Jey Uso is a possibility. We'll see. Yeah, the Tribal Chief, not so funny anymore. All right. Mark Hicks II has a question. Cody is finishing the story. Does that mean he's going to win the Royal Rumble back-to-back years? It could. It absolutely could. I hope they don't do a stupid stipulation. You know, not like what was, who had the, was it Cena that had the 30 against one? Who had the 30 against one back in the day? It was for the championship and they end up keeping the belt, but it was 30 against one. Someone in the chat will remember. It was either Cena or it was Seth Rollins. It was somebody that they were trying to get over. Maybe it was Roman. Holy shit, it was Roman Reigns. Thank you, Vigil. Roman Reigns, remember that 30 against one? And it fucking backfired. We don't need any over-the-top segments with Cody Rhodes. If he wins back-to-back, it's fine. Let's see what kind of momentum he has going into the Royal Rumble. And Roman lost? I don't remember him losing. 30 against one? Well, no, I'm mixing two. I know what I'm thinking of. John Cena and Randy Orton teaming up against the entire Raw roster. That's what I'm thinking of. Do you remember that? That episode of Raw? It was John Cena and Randy Orton versus the entire Raw roster. And to me, it didn't help either one of them. It was stupid. It was beyond jumping the shark. It was basically jumping the shark with a shark in your hand. You know, if you know where the term jumping the shark comes from, with Fonzie wearing a fucking brown... Imagine going to the beach and you're wearing your brown leather jacket, jumping the shark. You deserve to be eaten up. In fact, if I was the shark, I would have ate Fonzie and I would have somehow took my fins and put it through the arms and wore the jacket. Like, hey, yo, you taste like shit. Yay. Nah. Don't do any dumb stipulations like that. If he wins the Royal Rumble again, that's fine. Cody Rhodes winning the Royal Rumble for a second time, it'll be interesting. How would you like it if it comes down to LA Knight and Cody Rhodes is the final two in the Royal Rumble? By that time, LA Knight would have already have gold. LA Knight will have gold before WrestleMania. This is not a news story. This is a prediction and a strong feeling that I have. Not going to be those that are going to sell you for 7 months that LA Knight's winning money in the bank, and then he doesn't. You know, by the way, I'm going to share something with you before we get into more questions. By the way, thank you to everybody tuning in tonight. Tomorrow, I'm going to get into a little news story. I got this in a DM from a friend of mine who works in WWE. And he gives me little funny things here once in a while, and Kev gets them as well. And most of it we don't talk about on the shows because we don't want to stir things up, but we kind of like get little laughs at something. But something happened over the weekend that I definitely have to share with you. I will tell you this. I'm not trying to be a dick. I don't want anybody super chatting me for the answer because I can't reveal it because it'll kind of like get somebody in trouble. But just so you know, and you could probably figure it out if you think about it, just so you know that over the weekend, WWE actually tried to get, like, figure out, like, who's, like, if there's any moles in it. They know that some people who work in WWE, wrestlers, people behind the scenes, they have friends in the wrestling world. Some of these wrestling news outlets out there, you know, they do have connections. WWE does not keep their door closed and feed them nothing. They give them something. They want a good relationship with some journalists. They will not tell journalists to start throwing shade against somebody like, you know, AEW has done to CM Punk and others. They don't do that. But over the weekend, they wanted to catch someone feeding spoilers about Money in the Bank online. And one of the reasons why they were doing this is because you remember the story recently that WWE might be going like the gambling route where you could bet on outcomes of matches. Think about it. You're betting on the outcome of matches that are predetermined. Imagine if you're one of the select few in WWE. Honestly, me, I'm not going to lie to you. If I'm like Vince McMahon and I'm in management and they say to me, all right, the gambling, you know, shh, don't say nothing, you get arrested, that Cody Rhodes is beating Roman at WrestleMania, and then the bets come out there, or if there's a major upset, Zack Ryder's going to win the Intercontinental Money in the Bank ladder match at WrestleMania, I ain't betting on it, getting in trouble. I guarantee you, I'm going to call my cousins, brothers, neighbors, nephews, janitor, and say, hey, Miguel, put $10,000 on Zack Ryder, he's winning Money in the Bank. And in this way, when he wins and cashes a check, and at the bottom of the statement, it says, do you have any employees that work for World Wrestling Entertainment or any relatives? No, I do not. No, I do not. And then if he gets in trouble later on, I didn't say nothing to him. What are you talking about? It's my brother's neighbor's cousin's janitor. You know, I mean, but over the weekend, they put out a rumor, a discussion, a little buzz in the air about somebody doing something at Money in the Bank. Not going to say if it's a he or a she, but there was something put out there about something happening at Money in the Bank. I will tell you this, it has nothing to do with LA Knight. And it didn't happen. And it's not that those people got it wrong. Somebody that works within WWE got busted for giving leaking shit out to the media. There's certain things you're allowed to put out there. There's certain things they want you to keep hush-hush, especially surprises. That's why if you notice, most of the spoilers, whether they're right or they're wrong about WWE premium live events, are usually the outcomes. But when there's surprises, they don't want those to be revealed. Drew McIntyre returning was a tremendous surprise. John Cena appearing was a tremendous surprise. But there was something that was put out there that a lot of people were running with over the weekend, and WWE by design put that out there to try to see if somebody was leaking it, leaking surprise shit. So I'll talk about that tomorrow a little bit more, but look out for that. You know, this is really, really interesting. This is really interesting. Rizzo, thank you for the 5 spot on top of the 20. He just wrote something that left me thinking about something yesterday. And I guarantee you what I'm about to say, more than half of you are going to say, whether to me or to yourself, yeah, me too. Rizzo says, have we heard the reports about Ronda Rousey leaving? If true, then the Shayna Baszler term makes sense. The funny thing about yesterday, and anybody that has been watching WWE for the last 20 years, let's go 20 years about. And by the way, oh shit, this week in wrestling history is, I'm going to show you a pictorial preview tomorrow in a totally different way. It is so cool with this weekend coming up. One of the things this weekend is the anniversary of RVD and Sabu getting pulled over and arrested for drug possession. I know RVD recently on social media said that I was never booked and this and that. Well, he should tell the newspapers back then, especially the ones in Michigan, because I actually got screenshots from the newspapers at that time. I don't remember RVD shoot it down. He was never charged. But at that time, you best damn believe, and I actually play the audio of the cops pulling them over. No joke, this is the history show. But the reason why I'm bringing it up is because when RVD got pulled over, when he was WWE and ECW champion, what we all feared came to reality. Ah, shit, they're going to suspend him and he's going to drop the titles. How many times in 20 years did somebody drop a title, lose a match, or suddenly get buried? And then you find out the next day, so-and-so has been suspended 30 days for the violation of the WWE wellness program. Now, honestly, I don't think Ronda Rousey is doing any, you know, performance-enhancing drugs. But I will tell you this. Shayna turning on her yesterday, especially that they're champions, this soon made no sense at all. Yes, at WrestleMania time, we talked about it. You go search it on the shows. Just type in both their names and you'll see the discussions. But the fact that they just won the championships, they just unified the championships. They could have had a decent run, especially with UFC and WWE merging. You know, think about that. Two UFC, you know, MMA women dominating. One or two. So when I saw that yesterday, I said to myself, if that was a guy, I would not have been surprised. If Ronda was Ron, I wouldn't have been surprised if today or Monday or Tuesday, because of a holiday, we would have found out on WWE.com that Ron Rousey has been suspended 30 days for violation of the WWE wellness program. I would have been like, ah, that's why they dropped the titles. Doesn't make sense. Does not make sense. The fact that I don't think she failed the wellness, I wonder if somebody's leaving. Could be Shayna Baszler for all we know. I don't think so. But wonder if Ronda Rousey, you know what my gut feeling is, and I'm probably wrong. My gut feeling is that when WWE unified the NXT and the WWE Women's Championships, if you watched NXT this past week, some of the women there were name-dropping Ronda and Shayna, and you now realize that whoever the women's tag team champions are going to be making some appearances in NXT, because now the women's titles are going to be shown on all three brands. I wonder if Ronda Rousey either just didn't want to commit to also working NXT, or maybe WWE just felt, you know what, I think the NXT audience would enjoy Liv Morgan and the return of Raquel a little bit more than Shayna Baszler and Ronda Rousey. Shayna Baszler and Ronda Rousey are a little too dominant. And I know what some people are going to say, Ronda wrestles like shit. But the overall appearance of them, Ronda could take my leg and fucking twist it in ways that I never knew could be twisted. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I wonder if that's the reason. I'm sure in the next day or two, you're going to have some journalists who are going to claim these scoops. And the scenarios that I just brought up, they probably will bring up. The differences is that we're guessing, and they're guessing, but they're trying to play it off as news. Because when they get it wrong, oh, things changed. But when they get it right, see, I told you, I got sources. So I don't know what to believe right now. One thing is for certain, we don't know who it is, but I will say this. To put the titles on Ronda and Shayna, all right, I'll add a little more drama to this. What about this scenario? WWE did not feel that Raquel Rodriguez and Liv Morgan was a strong enough team to unify championships. I'm not trying to be dramatic here, and I'm not taking shots at Raquel or Liv Morgan. Do you hear that? I hope there's not like a bird in my air conditioner. No, I can't. Did you hear that clicking? So I had to turn my air off. So probably a rock got popped in there. Anyway, so if I start sweating, you know why. No, but seriously, no shot on Raquel, no shot on Liv Morgan. But unifying belts is a pretty big thing. Maybe they wanted Ronda and Shayna's name in the record books as the one that unified the championships. Maybe they felt Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez are not strong enough to win a unified title. That kind of gives me that direction. But look, if Ronda Rousey exits, is it really that big of a loss? I don't know. I mean, they're doing pretty damn good right now with the Bloodline and Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes and the Judgment Day. You could go on and on and on. I mean, if Ronda Rousey is a problem, I don't know if she is. I'm not throwing any shade to Ronda Rousey. I like Ronda Rousey. But there's definitely something more to this. You don't do what they did to Ronda and Shayna, and then suddenly, poof, poof. Have you seen Shayna? I mean, even when she was doing her live streams on social media, you got the feeling, especially how she was holding her title, and you got the feeling that she was very proud being in that position. She did not come across as someone, and yes, their job is to not give any inkling that something is going to happen. But Shayna Baszler, if you watched her streams on social media, there had been no sign whatsoever that they were going to be doing what they did yesterday. So we should find out very, very soon. We should find out very, very soon. Thank you, Rizzo, for that. All right, Run DMG. If I had one wish for pro wrestling, what would it be? Well, we got part of it with Showbuzz Daily shutting down. So the ratings, you know, going to be not a focal point. I don't care about people pushing the ratings. It's kind of cute when numbers don't go the way certain people are. They got to come up with excuses for everything. You know, it was warm out. Yep. My wish for pro wrestling is that fans could get along online as good as wrestlers do that are in different companies. You look at AEW wrestlers hanging out, mingling with WWE wrestlers. They look out for each other. They praise each other. They compliment each other. They support each other. They're not out for everybody's throats. You know, I wish that fans would, you know, respect each other a little bit more. Let me make this clear. There's a lot of people I know that don't watch an ounce of AEW. And that's their right. They're not demented. They're not retarded. They're not stupid. They're not disabled. They're not ignorant. They're not a WWE sucker. You know, that's just their preference is not. Yesterday when we talked about the AEW Fight Forever game, I don't remember which video game website that did a review, but I think they nailed AEW. And this is not a knock on AEW, but I think they nailed it. They said that AEW's video game was a homage to 90s wrestling video games. Problem is that most people have moved on from the 90s. And I think, and that really stuck in my head. And I was like, you know what? That kind of spells AEW with the chaos, clusterfuck, crackerjack surprise, the triple C's that I bring up every week, that AEW kind of is stuck in the 90s. The way you get the blood, the guts, the violence, you know, a lot of the craziness, the vulgarity, you know, it's some of the stuff. And, you know, it's not a bad thing, but is that the majority of the wrestling fans out there? Understand something. This is not a knock on wrestling fans, but you got to admit this. The world has become a hell of a lot softer in the last 25 years. The world has got, I think in a lot of ways, the world has gotten better. Absolutely. You look at the progression of, you know, certain, you know, groups, and I mean, compared to 25 years ago, there's been a lot of good progress. Absolutely. But there's also a big problem. 20 years ago, I called it the pussification of America. And I focused on America. And then after that, it was everybody gets a trophy. Everybody gets a prize. Everybody gets this. Remember that era that everybody focused on? So understand that you have a lot of adults in their 20s and 30s that all they know is the world in the last 25 years. Crayons, chalk, hot chocolate, adult coloring books. Everybody gets a trophy. So now you give them the AEW stuff and the vulgarity and the chaos and the clusterfucks and the crackerjack surprises. And not everybody is going to be, you know, it's not like a little kid that sneaks up past his bedtime to watch scrambled porn. You know what I mean? It's not, when all you know is how you were brought up, you know, AEW might not be a cup of coffee. That's why if you notice, almost every person online that has almost like to a weirdness level infatuation about AEW, they're usually in their late 20s, 30s, or 40s, or even 50s. You know, so they were like around at the beginning of the Attitude Era, so they lived through that, and they kind of want some of that back because it was looser. It was loosey-goosey, anything goes. You know, I didn't curse. I didn't call her a fat fucking blimp whore. But the wrestler did. I'm just laughing at the wrestler. It's not real. It's storyline. You know, it's a lot of things you could say and do through the eyes of a wrestler. So I think that is what's going on right now. Xander Elian. We know that Cody beating Roman for the Undisputed title would finish the story. If Roman retired right after dropping the title, would his retirement overshadow Cody's big win? No, I don't think so. Because Cody's road to that point would not be diminished because Roman was going to take... Listen, remember the reports that Roman was taking time off? That Roman was going to take a few months off? Do you remember that? I mean, if you really go on like Google and look up wrestling news and do a search term just from January 1st, 2022 to December 31st, 2022, you'll be shocked at how much bullshit news came out there. From WWE is going starting TV 14 tonight to Roman Reigns taking several months off after WrestleMania and having a less than part-time schedule. Roman Reigns' schedule has been pretty much in line of last year. And when Kevin and I did a little deep dive about heavyweight champs from 20, 30 years ago, from Macho Man to Hogan and others, Roman has had almost the same number of title defenses. Yeah, it's a reflection going back to old school, how it was done in old school, because they realize now, why should they have their champions burn out? Why does Roman have to defend the title 100 times a year? Why burn them out? Do a good storyline. You preserve them. You preserve others. That's how you get wrestlers that can wrestle into their 30s and 40s and even beyond and not look embarrassing. So if Roman were to take time off or retire, it's deserving. Like, Roman has done so much in the last couple of years. It's, if you found out, okay, he's dropping the title of Cody, now he's going to take 6 months off. I think a lot of people would be like, man, that sucks. He's taking 6 months off. But you know what? The Bloodline storyline been the best in the last 20 years. He deserves it. Roman, can't wait to see you back. Comes back, babyface. You know, not clear cut, but you see where I'm going. I don't think you would get a lot of people out there be like, oh, you see, he's leaving now. Cody, yeah, you didn't finish the story. You finished it by default because Roman was going to leave anyway. I don't think it's that deep. I don't think it's that deep. Roman has done a great job with the championship. And remember, if COVID never happened, I don't think we get this edition of Roman Reigns. I don't think the fans would have allowed it to develop the way it did. If you go back to the first 6 to 9 months of this Roman Reigns that we have now, the tribal chief, if you go back to the first 9 months when it was Thunderdome, and you look at everything that went down, look at an overview, and then just fantasize that you have live fans in attendance instead of TV screens or deli man, you know, doing. I don't think the fans would have allowed it to get to that point. So COVID is a very big reason why we got what we got right now. But here's another thing. As awful as this sounds, COVID also showed WWE, we don't need 200 wrestlers on our roster. We could get rid of 100 wrestlers and draw things out and drag it out. And as long as you got those fans invested in those characters, people don't have to wrestle every week. They'll have a storyline. They'll do an entrance. They'll walk slower than somebody with no legs. They'll walk to the ring. It'll take 7 minutes. And then you realize the segment took 20 minutes. And that's 1/6 of an entire SmackDown. I mean, think about that. 1/6 of a SmackDown was one segment and nobody wrestled at all and nobody complains. Every single Bloodline segment that we have watched, from Sami Zayn joining the Bloodline to Jey Uso leaving the Bloodline, Jimmy Uso attacking Roman Reigns and a lot of other shit, none of them had matches attached to it. So right now, WWE has realized, because of COVID, we could do as much with a lot less. And that's why so many people, I mean, you realize how many people, they have 100 less wrestlers now than they did a couple of years ago. And you would think it should be the opposite right now. They're touring everywhere. They need more people. What are you talking about? and they never did it. And the people that they added, has anybody dominated the main event? Anybody that they added from the releases? Braun Strowman might have been the one that went the furthest on the food chain as far as fans and their investment into shows. So WWE has learned because of COVID. Their company changed. And look at how much money they're making in the stock market. You go in a stock market and you look at their worth, even back in September of last year, October, November, early this year when Vince came back. When you look at the financial world, they're not writing WWE stock went up 11% because Jey Uso super kicked Roman Reigns or because the bloodline is the hottest thing around. No, they're not doing that. They're talking about WWE's bottom line. And when you see the bottom line, WWE's company has changed in the last 3 or 4 years. It's not about creative change. It's about the whole organization. You know, and a couple of years ago, now you look back on it, and when people are like, oh, that's so messed up to release people during COVID. You know, I mean, yeah, it sucks. Nobody wants to lose their job. Nobody wants to see anyone else lose their job, but now you look back on it, now you understand that a lot of that is the reason why WWE is where they are today, why we have the quality that we have today, and why they're now merging with Endeavor. All of this is all tied together. If WWE, remember, it was not that long ago when WWE stock was like $15 a share, $25 a share. When it came out, back 20 plus years ago, I think it came out like $9 a share. I think that's what I bought it for when I bought it early on. I bought $1,000 worth of WWE stock and I sold it within a year. I don't think I made anything on it. I just didn't want to like keep it in stock. But now, I mean, if anybody bought $1,000 worth of stock back then, it's now worth probably 10 G's. Everything is all tied together. I'm surprised Brock did not show up at Money in the Bank. I'm not sure if he shows up on Monday because it is a holiday weekend. But not for nothing. Americana, 4th of July, anniversary of the Lex Express. Intrepid. Yeah, wow, 30 years. 30-year anniversary. By the way, just so you know, this week is the 10-year anniversary of the Wyatt family making their debut, WWE, the Wyatt family. It's 10-year anniversary of the Wyatt family. Happy birthday, Terry Funk. Today's Terry Funk. By the way, did you see that picture of Terry Funk on social media? Oh, broke my heart. Almost wanted to cry. Terry Funk's my favorite wrestler of all time. Met Terry Funk countless times. I showed you all on an episode a year or two ago that 2-page letter that he wrote me when I got engaged back in 1998. I actually was on his shoot interview. I had lunch with Terry Funk and Mick Foley when they were the WWF Tag Team Champions. Go on my Twitter. Look at my profile. I still have the picture up. The day I hung out with our video, we ate lunch. I drove back to New York. I got into a road rage incident. Almost got arrested. And Feinstein told me, he's like, listen, if you call in between this time, you can be in the shoot interview. And I called in and I talked to Terry Funk about when he had the fake NWA title in the 70s. But that day, I got into a road rage incident. My ex and some girl were pulling each other's hair. My mother came out. Crazy. But look at the picture that came out today of Terry Funk on his birthday. It'll break your heart. The man, I hate to say it, will be shocked if he can make it another year. He's frail, half the size he used to be, has no facial hair. He breaks my heart. Breaks my heart. Go check it out. He looks like a frail old man. And it's a shame because everybody, you don't ever want to, your heroes, your family, your friends, people you watch in wrestling, sports players. You always want to, that's why when you see conventions, they'll always show pictures of people when they were in their prime. Who the fuck wants to see 65-year-old, half obese, so-and-so, you know, whoever the wrestler is. Like, you want to see, remember them in their prime. That's why even Draws. We paid tribute yesterday to Draws. Draws used to enjoy our shows 20 years ago. And Draws, you know, when you celebrate his life, you post a picture, you know, when he was at his, you know, prime. You don't post a picture now. You want to remember him in a much more positive way. So, all right, we're at 75 minutes. Let's start bringing this home. Mike asks, when will Brock set up the third match against Cody? If it's not tomorrow, it's going to be in the next week. They have to. I mean, Cody's going to come out there and tout his win against Dominic Mysterio. Then what? Rematch? Maybe on Raw? But after that, Cody has to take a real big insult at Brock Lesnar. I wish, this is my mind going, I wish Cody would have cut a promo. If Brock's not going to come to me and answer my challenge, I'm going to come to him. They should add cameras having Cody Rhodes travel to fucking Brock Lesnar's house in the country. I mean, I know logistics-wise it would have been difficult. Obviously, I don't think they want Sable on camera. But for me, if this was Attitude Era time, I would have had Brock come out with a fucking rifle. Get off my property, you know? Or you have Brock Lesnar just attack him. Just, like, jump out, like, from, like, underneath some, like firewood that he had, like, stacked up. Cody Rhodes should have went to him. Brock, if you won't come to me, I'm coming to you. That's what I wanted to see. We haven't gotten that. Let's not hold, you know, let's hold out hope. Maybe that still happens. But I think in the next 2 weeks, we will have clarity. Cody Rhodes versus Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam is pretty much a lock. Not even for storyline purposes. It is a major match. And by the way, what about all those people out there that reported that Cody versus Dominic was going to close out Money in the Bank? We talked about that yesterday. The only reason why they had no sources, the only reason why they said that is because Michael Cole called it a main event. He called it a main event for Money in the Bank. So they heard that, oh, main event, it's going to close out. My sources tell me that Cody and Brock is going to come out. Why else would they close out Money in the Bank with Cody if Brock didn't come out? And they were wrong. They were wrong. All right. We got some more super shout-outs to get into. Last calls. Roger Rubio. Little baseball. Our baseball teams are currently going at it. Mets 5, Giants 3 in the 7th. Should be another good game between our favorite teams. One sec. Hopefully no clicks. No rocks. Ah, it's getting cold in here. You know, my Mets are not doing very good this year. I think they go on a run. May not happen in the next couple of days. I think they go on like a 10-game winning streak. And a lot of the, you know, they're too good to be this bad. And Buck Showalter, could you hear that click? Just let me know if you could hear it. Because my microphone is set up with a noise filter that's supposed to filter out like air conditioner noise. If you hear a clicking sound, then I'll shut it off. People that don't like me are going to say, yeah, I hear that clicking. It's bad just because they want to see me sweat. But the Mets, with all due respect, I want the Mets to sweep the Giants. I know that's not going to happen. But, all right, people say they hear no clicks. Good. I'm gonna punch my air conditioner. Click didn't go away. It's probably a rock, a pebble. So as long as it doesn't, like, shoot out like a bullet and hit me in the neck. If I'm doing a show like, hey, tomorrow on Raw, and I'm like this, you know, then you know what happened. So, yeah, I mean, the Giants, you know, the Giants are the Giants. I'm a little surprised at their success. I keep seeing photoshopped Ohtani in a Giants uniform. But I'm a little biased towards the Mets. I want to see the Mets turn it around. I hope so. But, Roger, no, I don't expect anything less. You got to root for your Giants, even though our Mets are going to beat you. Rizzo! With a 5-spot, he just saw the picture of Terry Funk. He thinks that's why WWE did not bring out Bobby Heenan in the last years. Depressing seeing our hero so frail. You know, Terry Funk, he looks sick, because we remember him like this. If you posted a picture, it's my grandfather's birthday, say happy birthday to my grandpa Terry, we would look at him and be like, oh, you know, happy birthday, Grandpa Terry. We would be like, oh, he looks a little frail, but we would not have known his history. So we would not have thought as much. You know, like people get old, they do get smaller, they do get a little bit frail. I mean, I see it with some of my own relatives. Terry Funk, though, you know that something is wrong. When he's in a home, you know, and you want to know something, I truthfully believe the passing of his wife is where it all changed for Terry. I know that sounds awful, and I say this with love. He's my favorite wrestler of all time, and I've gotten to meet him so many times. Him versus Louis is one of my favorite matches ever. Drove all the way to Connecticut to see that. But I'll say this. If we find out later on through Mick Foley and others that when his wife passed, that was it for Terry. You know, I know a lot of people, they die of a broken heart. And I think you're going to hear that with Terry Funk, that Terry Funk died of a broken heart. I just hope he's not in pain. I just hope, even though his life is simple now, he's got nurses, he's got other patients, probably playing checkers, watching TV, hanging out, fresh air, smelling flowers. I know that sounds very, very generic, but you know what? If that's how he's spending his final days, having some family and friends visit him, you know, you can't ask for anything more. But when you look at that picture, I mean, come on. You're not going to say to me, oh, that just is, he's just getting older. No, that looks like someone that's not eating, someone who's got such major health issues that just, you know, man. Appreciate Terry Funk, man. Appreciate him. All right. Moist Ham is back. Any thoughts on the crazy riots in France? Man, I don't know what the fuck to believe. I know that there's shit going down. I see the fires. I see the explosions. The most disturbing video that I saw recently is that firefighters showed up to put out a fire and protesters were pulling the hoses, preventing them from stopping the fires. Honestly, I don't know if they got their own National Guard. I'm sure they do. They have to get their military on the streets. I see people blaming a lot of, you know, immigrants, you know, people coming from other countries. I look at it like this, and I'm not trying to be politically correct here, but to the country of France, you know, I don't know how many people live in the country of France, but to the country of France, they didn't just disappear. They didn't just all move out to Texas. Like, where is the people who live in France and taking their country? I don't understand it. It's like everybody disappeared. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. New York City was in chaos. The last thing I was going to do is be in New York City. With all due respect, and I mean, I think everybody understands why I say what I'm about to say. Big, fat, white Italian guy going to New York City. Hey, can't we all just get along? I get surrounded by a bunch of protesters. What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? Turn my phone on and suddenly, oh, I'm in the right? No matter what I do, it's not going to help. So you're forced to stay out of it. It's a shame, but that's the case. You know, I want peace. What's happening in France kind of baffles me because I don't see people fighting for their country. It's not like Sergeant Slaughter. I want my country back. It just, it's a little baffling. The military's got to get involved in it. And if they are already, they're not doing a very good job with it. It's crazy. It's crazy to see. And if a lot of you out there have not seen what's been going on in France, go on Twitter. Oh, you'll be able to binge watch all night long. Twitter, listen, I'm going to tell you straight out. I don't have much of a problem with Elon Musk. He bought Twitter. He can do whatever the fuck he wants with Twitter. I know about the restrictions, 1,000 is. You know, it's not just scrolling down 1,000 pages. I can't scroll anymore. It's clicking on 1,000 things. I mean, you look at the restrictions that came out yesterday. I mean, I'm verified. I click on 1,000 things, and that's my maximum. I don't click on 100. If I click on 200, then I have a very boring day, you know, going on. You know, it's not that you scroll down 1,000 and, oh, let me see what's going on, and I can't see anymore. That's the truth. But I will say this. He's got to do something about Twitter being flooded with lots of violence and hate and murder and decapitations and crashes that are just graphic. Where's the 18-plus disclaimers? Where's the, you know, it's inappropriate. Why is everything allowed? That's the thing I don't get. Now I've changed my setting that all I see is posts by people I follow that I have it muted, which are very few. But you just see recommended posts every day. You'll see recommended shit and it's violence. And I don't know. I mean, I know why it's done, because people will stop and watch. Even if it's the most outrageous, horrible stuff, they'll watch. Even if they know that it's taken out of context. I saw recently there was a guy in Italy that got beat down from cops. And he was either dressed as a woman or he was trans. And they showed like 30 seconds of a video of a bunch of cops just beating the shit out of this guy, woman, whatever you want to say. What I found out after was that the video that wasn't shown was that this person was molesting a whole bunch of children, like right before it. Now, sure, cops probably should not be getting clubs and they can't take the law into their own hands, even though I think we all would have, like, you know, let me get a shot as well. You know, but still, you cut out all that stuff and you see only that part. And I'm not this big proponent of cops, but I'm just saying that a lot of that shit gets through and it paints shit, man. Crazy, man. It's crazy. All right. Thank you, Mr. Ham, for that. Rizzo, back again. 5 spot. Thank you, Rizzo. Much appreciated. One of the worst ones is Ric Flair posted a picture of Mongo. I have always said for decades, I didn't mind Steve Mongo McMichael's commentary on Nitro. He was not to be taken seriously. He had that little fucking dog, Pepe, you know, cute little dog with the sombrero once in a while. He wasn't as bad in the ring. Should he have been in the Four Horsemen? No. But I liked his tombstone pile driver. When I watch the montages of Steve McMichael, I'm reminded of how bad he was. But Steve McMichael has cancer. And we know he has cancer. We know that he is very ill. The reason I don't want to see Steve Mongo McMichael in that condition, but I see him smiling. He has come to terms with what is going on. It sucks to say it, but he's accepted what's happening. One of the most heartbreaking things that I ever saw, and I know this sounds random, but people understand why I say this. One of the most heartbreaking things I ever saw in sports was Walter Payton, Chicago Bears. Walter Payton, number 34, right? And he was dying, I think, of cancer, right? And I remember he did a TV interview and he was crying. He's like, I don't want to die. You know, and unfortunately, couldn't do nothing about it. With Terry Funk, like, we've been told that, no, he's okay. He's okay. If he was okay, why is he in a home? If he's okay, why does he look 100 pounds lighter? If he's okay, you know, why does his arms look like toothpicks? If he's okay, why does he look so sickly, you know? And I think that's why they've hidden it. And that's probably Terry Funk's request. Terry Funk wants to live the rest of his life private, dignity, Remember recently he said, please don't send me things to sign anymore. I can't sign them. I've told this story for 20 years on my shows and hotlines. I went to an autograph convention in Long Island with Daphne, God rest her soul, back in around, I would say, 2006, around 2006 or 8. And I picked up Daphne from the airport, and we hung out at my house for a little while. Innocent, everyone. Hung out at my house for a little while. Then we took the drive out to Nassau County. I think it was Hempstead. And there was an autograph signing there. She was going to be there as well. And we went inside, and Terry Funk was there. And I've met Terry Funk countless times. When I got engaged, he sent me a fucking branding iron. I've showed you the shirts that he sent me that would never, ever put on sale. Still got his two-page letter. But I saw him, and I said, hey, Terry, how's it going? And he's like, oh, how you doing? And I shook his hand, and I looked at his fingers. This is going to sound graphic, but I don't know how else to put it. I can't say it a different way. His thumb looked like somebody's toe, like a bad cartoon. When you hit it and it blows up, some of his fingers, his ring finger, probably looked like somebody's penis. I mean, they were all swollen, couldn't bend it. I like put my hand and shook it, and I was like, I looked down at his hand, and I felt so awful. And I've said that on these shows for 20 plus years. That's the one thing that I remember from that day with Terry. Shaking his hand and looking down and feeling and looking at his hands, the arthritis, the swelling, the pain. Unbelievable. And that was 15 plus years ago. He's just, yeah. When you're in hospice, with all due respect, it's over. Hospice is supposed to make the rest of your final days comfortable to when you go. When you hear someone's in hospice, that's it. I don't think I've ever heard of a case where somebody is in hospice and then you find out a month later, oh, so-and-so is leaving hospice and going home, unless they want to die at home. When you go to hospice, that's it. That's just the way it is. My grandmother on my father's side was in hospice. My grandfather was in hospice. I remember Kevin talking about, I don't know if it was dad was in hospice. And when you're in hospice, I mean, you know, be lucky if you can like walk around and enjoy like, you know, just your surroundings. Some people go to hospice, like some of my relatives, and they're on like morphine. And they're just laying there just waiting to go. And that was the most awful thing. My grandmother, I don't have the picture here, but my grandmother on my father's side, she was a big woman. She was only probably like 5'7", but she was about to be 200 pounds. And believe me, it wasn't just fat. I honestly thought she could play football. I mean, she never spoke an ounce of English, but if I show you a picture next time you look at her, you're a big woman. But when she was put in hospice, she dropped like 50 pounds in a matter of couple of weeks. And to see her in that condition, she's got a blanket over half her body. And the reason why they have the blanket over her, even though she's sweating, is because they don't want her to see like how, you know, how bad her body has become. So yeah. People are reminiscent about Walter Payton. That has always stuck with me. And that's always been my feeling, too, about me. Like, I can't picture me ever coming to terms and be like, okay, I can go now. Like, you know, like, I've always wanted to, like, go to sleep and never wake up. Now, like, you hear about this Titan thing, and I'm like, hey, you know what? Maybe it's not so bad. If they didn't even know that it was their time to go, it's like a bad cartoon. Like, Wild E. Coyote gets splat with the rock. Like, all right, if, you know, everything comes crumbling down and I don't even know anything that's going on, that's fine. You know, I saw some people that are like, oh, their minds knew for a few moments that they were dead and everything. What are they talking about? If it got splatted into nothing, is it a little piece of a brain that's looking up, floating in the water like, wow, that's fucked up? Like, you know, I'm sure a lot of you have seen the snake. Have you ever seen the Twitter video? It's not disgusting. It's, if you don't like this kind of stuff, don't watch it. But if you want to see something pretty wild, there's a snake video on Twitter. And the head of the snake is cut off. And the head is right next to the rest of the body. There's no, like, lots of blood or anything like that. The head's just chilling, hanging out. And this is obviously right after the snake's head was cut off. And the rest of the body is moving around, and it bumps into the head. The head opens up its jaw and locks on its own body. It's just a fucking head. There's nothing attached to it. The head is laying there, and it gets bumped into. It's almost like you're walking in the subway, and you step on somebody's shoes. The fuck you doing? I kid you not. I thought it was CGI. And people are like, no, that's legit. Like, that's your nervous reaction and this, this, and that. So it's like, if I go splat, I don't even think there's a chance. Like, if part of my body, like, bumps into the other, I don't think it's going to be like, hey, what are you doing? All right. Nothing wrong with a little head. Josh. All right. Let's start wrapping this up. Come on, let's get into some uplifting topics. I don't mind talking, you know, deep stuff here. I mean, if it, and it helps some people. Everybody out there at some point has issues with family members, friends, maybe even themselves. Some of this conversation actually helps some people sometimes, so I don't mind. Yeah, see, Chaos, you know, watched his mother in hospice, you know, up until she was gone. Maggie's talking about her mom being in care for 13 years. You know, look at Droz. I mean, I'm not trying to compare your mom to Droz. 24 years. 24 years. That's, imagine having to, you're forced to depend on others. And that's love. That's love. I mean, nobody wants to go into hospice. But trust me, if you are sick with cancer and your days are numbered and your family puts you in hospice, there ain't no miracle drug. Andy Kaufman went to a different country thinking that some voodoo people were going to cure him. And you, I'm sure you saw Man on the Moon when they acted like they were going into his stomach and they pulled this out. But meanwhile, they're actually in the tray next to him. And Andy Kaufman's laying there like, wow, I just got raped of quite a lot of money. You know, I mean, imagine what he was going through. I mean, I would have popped if the voodoo doctors for Andy Kaufman, and if anybody's a fan of Andy Kaufman, you'll know why I say this. I would have popped if Andy Kaufman was lying on the table, half dead, and the voodoo doctors come in to do what they're about to do, and they would have turned the record on, and they would have looked at him and go, here I come to save the day. That would have been awesome. I even think Andy Kaufman would have popped. I think he would have been like, fuck you, and then died. He probably would have enjoyed it. But listen, you're in hospice. They inject so much pain medication in you. You have no pain. It just slows down your body until it goes. But you are pain-free. That is the only thing that I have solace in for my relatives who were ever in hospice. It was awful to see them in that state. But one thing I know, you know, my grandmother on my mother's side, she is responsible for me having anything to do with wrestling. She got me into wrestling. She died in 1991. We just celebrated her anniversary. It is so awful to know how she died. She died of a heart attack. And when my dad found her in her house, her apartment, her phone was off the hook and the phone was on the floor. So my grandmother, at that time, I was closer to her than anybody else in my family. And I can't tell you how many times I closed my eyes and envisioned my grandmother catching a heart attack and going for the phone, trying to call for help, and the phone falls on the floor, and that's it. Like, I always wish to myself, oh, there's got to be an alternate ending. I'd rather see one of my relatives in hospice, sleeping, resting, pain-free, than than to think about that. All right. Let's finish this up with a little wrestling. Let's finish this up in about 5 minutes. Because I got to play this back and make up a little synopsis. If I don't put a synopsis, nobody will check out the replay. And we had some great, great conversation tonight. Definitely worth a listen to everybody out there. All right. Let's get some wrestling questions out there. We'll wrap it up. So, again, I'll be talking to Kev tomorrow around lunchtime. And if he is available, we'll record a recap sometime in the afternoon. And if we do, I will release that probably like 9 in the morning on Tuesday. I don't want to add it to the Monday stream because that would end up being like a 3-hour stream. And that's an awful long time to do this. Plus, we keep the DTKC stuff off of YouTube because then it gets a little bit hairy here because he's not a regular here and, you know, he's not part of the channel. Not that I don't want him to be part of the channel, but then people are like, oh, you know, nah. We'll see. All right, we got no wrestling stuff? Then I'll leave now. Oh, Kevin is very happy about Damian Priest winning. Look, if you go back, check out our predictions Tuesday. We wanted Damian Priest to win. Absolutely. Didn't think it would have looked all that great with him holding the briefcase. You know, now I'm like, you know, hey, you know, that's not bad at all. He's not bad at all. First name, John. So Kevin and I are still friends. First discovered us on TV Tracks. Casual DT fan, but after tonight, I'll be back every week. Thank you, John. We're friendly. You know, we're not like buddy-buddy. We don't hang out. But, you know, everything that fell apart a couple of years ago, that's been resolved, buried, done with. I think really what happened was that just things got extremely, I can't think of the right word right now, but you know, and it wasn't the I'm going to video and he's not. That's not the reason why things went the way they were. I just noticed. Was this in my light the whole time? I just realized that. Oh, I am so sorry. I'm not trying to change the subject. I didn't realize my light was over there. Not that it got complacent, but just wrestling. It just got boring, got a little bit, wasn't fun. It wasn't fun. And it just felt like we were doing shows for the sake of doing shows. And it got to the point, remember we were going to do the Don Tony and Kevin Castle hour? Like we were just going to do one hour a week and be done. But there was a lot of angst on both sides. There was a lot of shit talking behind people's backs, both sides. Bottom line is everything is cleared up now. And that's the most important thing. You know, everything is cool. And honestly, at this stage of the game, a lot has changed in the last 3-4 years. In the world, personally, and life's too short to be having stupid shit like that. So everything is cool. Everything is cool. Trust me, I give credit to Monty and the Pharaoh, who does a very, very big and successful show here in New York and Long Island. Monty said to me a long time ago, he said, you know, you and Kevin, you know, you don't have to be friends to have great shows. Like, you know, make money. Like, keep doing the shows, but, you know, make some money out of it. You know, you don't have to be friends. But for me, there has to be a friendship part of it. I can't fake laughing. Like, I can't sit here and somebody I don't like and Kevin cracks a joke and I'm like, oh, fuck you, you asshole. Like, I can't be laughing at someone that I don't like. So there's got to be a little friendliness to things. That's why, you know, it wasn't going to continue the way it was. We certainly aren't doing it now to try to make a money grab out of it. Believe me. You know, that's not the case. But all right, let's finish up with some wrestling stuff. So what do you... Okay, comment. Byron Cutler with a comment. His favorite wrestler, Damian Priest, won Money in the Bank. Been wanting this push ever since 2019. Damian Priest, as much as we are huge fans now of LA Knight and WWE's finally doing something with him, you can't deny that Damian Priest didn't earn that. It's easier for Damian Priest, in reflection, it's easier because Damian Priest don't need no storyline to win a title. I know people are not happy. I saw it yesterday when Damian Priest said, I could go for the Intercontinental Championship. I could go for the United States Championship. Like, they're trying to lower the standards of the briefcase. You know what I mean? It's like when you get a genie. I am the genie of the lamp. You could have three wishes, but it has to. You cannot ask for money. Or better yet, if somebody says, oh, if I ever got a lamp and I was granted three wishes, I would want $1,000. Give me a new car. Fix the leak in my bathroom. No, you want $1 million. You want everything. Why would somebody winning a briefcase want just the Intercontinental Championship or the United States? They're trying to boost the value of the titles. People are interpreted that they're diminishing the value of the briefcase. No, they're trying to increase the value of the titles. There's a big difference here. At the end of the day, I don't see Damian Priest, with the briefcase going, Austin Theory. No, it's not going to happen. They just want to give the impression that every title has good value to it. LA Knight, I'm not worried about it. LA Knight may not need the briefcase. Plus, wouldn't you want him to win the title now and not to? Let me say it like this. If LA Knight had the briefcase right now, he shows up on Raw, he teases Seth Rollins. He shows up on SmackDown, he teases Roman Reigns. At the end of the day, honestly, do you think LA Knight is beating either Seth Rollins or Roman Reigns anytime soon? No. So why would you want him to hold the briefcase for months and months and months and months and months and months and months when you know he ain't cashing in successfully against those guys? And then what happens if he cashes in and beats Austin Theory? People are going to be like, the fuck? They don't even have, they wouldn't even allow him to get the heavyweight title. They had to give him the U.S. title instead. So you know what? Let LA Knight beat Austin Theory for the United States title without a briefcase involved. You don't need no briefcase. That's how I look at it now. I didn't look at it that way before, and I don't want to sound like, hey, I told you so. No, I didn't look at it that way. I'm looking at it now, and I feel, okay, I accept Damian Priest winning it. Who would I like to see Seth feud with at SummerSlam? Damian Priest and Finn Balor in a three-way. Tease a little bit of Finn Balor and Damian Priest that could lead into WrestleMania. That's what I would like to see. Or bring it back one more time, Finn Balor and Seth Rollins. Is it that big of a deal? If Seth Rollins took on Balor, especially after yesterday, if he took on Balor one more time, is that really a bad thing? I mean, people really going to complain about that? I'd rather see him fight Balor again than to have, just a thrown together match that has no feeling behind it. Finn Balor killed it the last couple of weeks. Finn Balor has convinced me that this Finn Balor right now is better than the Finn Balor of years past. I absolutely love where they went with this with Balor. He's killing it. He's killing it. I don't want to see LA Knight winning the Royal Rumble either. Because look at the outcome afterwards. Usually Royal Rumble or briefcase equals title. You look at both championships. Does it look like LA Knight is beating Seth or Roman? When we get to the point, 6 months from now, 9 months from now, when we get to the point where people feel like, okay, Seth's run, he's had an amazing run, now it's time for somebody else. Or Roman has had an amazing run, now it's time for somebody else. Or Cody has had an amazing run, he's got two championships, or are they going to divide on, now it's time for somebody else. Then we can talk. But right now, if he wins a briefcase, if he wins the Rumble, if he ain't winning those titles. And if he wins in main events, that's great. But I don't want to see him main event just to lose. How many people wanted to see LA Knight in the match yesterday just to lose? No, you saw him because you wanted him to win. No rush right now. No rush. I would be fine with Rollins versus Omos. I wonder if, remember we talked about Bobby Lashley yesterday? I wonder if we get Bobby Lashley and maybe even Omos, or Bobby Lashley and Odyssey Jones. I think something there. Hell, give me Omos versus Lashley versus Odyssey Jones versus Bronson Reed. Give me those four motherfuckers feuding with each other. I honestly think for that aspect, you know, that likes the larger than life, you know, extremely big men, I think that would be pretty interesting to see. And plus, it'll help Bronson Reed and Odyssey Jones. Odyssey Jones hasn't done nothing yet. All right. Since we went all the way up to an hour and 51 minutes, if you have any final wrestling questions, I'll stick around for another 6-7 minutes. Let's make it to an even exactly 2 hour mark and get out of here. As long as you got, you know, something, not just like, you know, like, who's your favorite wrestler? Well, we already answered that. It's Terry Funk, but no, I want to see those big guys go at it a little bit. If I was still a character, what was better, a heel or a face? I got to be honest with you. I enjoyed both. I enjoyed both because, you know, Frank Goodman and VPW let me do what I wanted to do because it wasn't like a major part of the shows. Pretending to put X-Lax in cannolis was epic, and having people throwing bottles and hot dogs at me and people threatening to beat the shit out of me was incredible. At the same time, though, doing Deli Man and being a good guy and smashing Vinny over the head with a loaf of Italian bread, you know, and seeing little kids laughing. And when I used to show that screenshot, look at all the kids around ringside. They're all smiling and laughing and having a good time. So that was awesome, too. I think at the end of the day, I probably enjoyed being a bad guy, a heel, more than anything. You know, that night, segregating part of the crowd, and I'm not going to get into this long thing, but that night that I had one of the four sections in the building blocked off, and it was all family and friends, and we took guys from my dad's store, and they're handing out heroes and drinks and food, and three quarters of the building is just sitting there watching one section eating and drinking all night long for free, and they're being served. It was amazing because my brother's kids were probably 6 or 7 years old at the time, maybe 8 years old. And I said to them, I said, wow, you turned heel tonight. They didn't even understand what I said. But three quarters of the crowd wanted to, I don't want to say hit them, but they're all eating and drinking, and they have no idea, like, the reason behind it. The whole rest of the crowd was pissed off because they weren't allowed to eat anything. So, my least favorite wrestler of all time? Wow. There are so many. Oh, my God. Least favorite wrestler of all time? I probably have to go 80s, 90s, and today. Damn, I can't think of anybody right now. Least favorite wrestler? Oof. There's a lot of wrestlers I didn't like. Hated Maven. Maven to the point that I made Maven Invaders. Anybody remember my video game, Maven Invaders? It's actually still plays. You know what? One day, maybe next week if I remember, I'll put the game in this computer and I'll share the screen. Back when Maven first got on the main roster from Tough Enough, I actually made a video game. I called it Maven Invaders. And basically, if you know Space Invaders, instead of shooting aliens, you shot Maven's head. And the force fields Ever see Space Invaders, the four force fields? They actually were in the shape of the Tough Enough logo. And it was a legit video game. Maven Invaders. I hated Bruno Sammartino's son, David Sammartino. My grandmother adored Salvatore Bellomo. I didn't like him all that much. Yeah, I can't really think of many others. There's not many that I just hated. I'm going to have to think about that one. I'm going to have to think about that one. Because there's definitely some in WCW that I absolutely hated. So, Rhea Ripley's next opponent will be Natalya. And listen, Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez winning those. I think Rhea Ripley's next opponent could be Ronda Rousey or Shayna Baszler if Ronda's not leaving. Because we all thought it might be Raquel Rodriguez who got in the face of Rhea Ripley like a week or two ago. Now she's a tag champ. So it's like, okay, they put the belt on Liv and Raquel who are now not going to be going after Rhea. Who is Rhea going to go after? Candice LeRae? No, thank you. All right. Beth Phoenix, I doubt it because Edge will be on SmackDown Friday. He will be a guest on the Grayson Waller Effect, and I don't see Beth Phoenix doing anything on Raw anytime soon. Dragon Den is asking me, what do I know about Ernie Ladd? Ernie Ladd was before my time, but Ernie Ladd, former football player, one of the most intimidating black wrestlers, heels of all time back in the day. Ernie Ladd, the Cat, Ernie Ladd, not the greatest wrestler in the ring, but he was so big and so tall. And I always loved that fucking afro that he had. That was the look at the time. He was great. And I remember when he was wrestling in the South and he feuded with Dirty Rhodes and he would cut the promo, Dirty Rhodes, I'm going to beat you to a pulp. Ernie Ladd was awesome. Ernie Ladd, I wish he would have been around 10 years later. He still would have been at the tail end of his career, but I think people would have appreciated him that much more. It sucks that my memories of Ernie Ladd is more of like WWE Hall of Fame stuff and things like that. He was great. I didn't watch Junkyard Dog's Dark Side of the Ring. I'm not the biggest fan of the Dark Side of the Rings, you know, because they've been better lately. I did watch the Chris Candido one, and that was heartbreaking. The Junkyard Dog one, I mean, look, it sucks. He died in a car accident. He didn't have much money, you know, towards the end of his career. I know about the infamous fight with him and New Jack over weed money. You know, Junkyard Dog overall, you know, unfortunately, like, I didn't watch it, but I could pretty much guarantee what it was about. I mean, unfortunately, you know, medicinal items and overeating. You know, I'll say this in closing. One thing about the Junkyard Dog that blew me away. When Junkyard Dog died, I think he was like 46 or 47. And if I remember correctly, he died in 1998. Okay? So now, if you really think about it, when we go back to 1985, when we had the first Saturday night's main event, I think it was Mother's Day, and he was in the ring with his mom with the flower hat and a big fat ass. And remember that? And I'm thinking of the Junkyard Dog feuding with Terry Funk in the WWF, and I'm saying to myself, wait a minute. This guy was only in his early 30s? I mean, when you think of the Junkyard Dog in the late 80s, and he was getting way too heavy and couldn't really move around, and then you realize he wasn't even 40. That's the one thing that blows my mind. Like, you look back at the Junkyard Dog in the 80s, and you would say to yourself, wow, that guy was probably hitting 40 at the time. And then you realize he was 46 in 1998, which would have made him 33 in 1985. Junkyard Dog was great, man. Definitely have fun memories of the Junkyard Dog. Definitely enjoyed his stuff. Dark Side of the Ring, did he have that fucked up a dark of a life? I don't know about that. I mean, you know, got heavy, you know, took, you know, stuff. All right, you could say that for a boatload of people. I don't know. I don't know if a Dark Side of the Ring episode was necessary for the Junkyard Dog. I don't know. I'll leave that up to everybody else. All right, I'm out of here. We're at the two-hour mark. I thank everybody for joining me tonight. If you enjoyed the show, smash that thumbs up. If you know anyone else out there that would enjoy the show, let them know about the channel. DonTony.com, download the audio shows. That is the lifeline. Everything that I do, without that website, these shows would not be doing what they're doing right now. So I want to shout out everybody who enjoys everything. I will tomorrow, again, let everybody know about the Money in the Bank recap and review, if it'll be Kevin and I, or if I'll be doing it solo. And then, yeah, we got our regular lineup of shows this week. So enjoy your 4th of July. Be well. And I will be out of here. Much love, everybody. I'll talk to you all again soon. Good night.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.